You've probably seen Jesse Eisenberg, the actor, in films like The Social Network, The Squid and the Whale, and The End of the Tour. But have you read Jesse Eisenberg, the writer? He's the author of three plays and now a debut collection of short stories called Bream Gives Me Hiccups. The British newspaper The Guardian has already named it one of the essential books of the year. Jesse Eisenberg was in Madison recently and stopped by our studio.
So this is a story that is one chapter in a series of stories about a young boy who is saddled with his mother after the divorce of his parents. And I say saddled only because his mother does not want him to travel around with her. In this particular chapter, they go to Thanksgiving with the neighbors who are vegan. And this is called Thanksgiving with Vegans. And this is from the perspective of a 9-year-old boy. So, yes, excuse my naivete. Thanksgiving with Vegans. Last night, Mom and I went to Thanksgiving dinner at a vegan family's house, which is kind of like going to temple for Christmas. Mom said that vegans are people who don't eat any meat or cheese or shave. And since Mom doesn't like to cook, she decided that we needed to go to our neighbor's house for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving used to be my favorite holiday because Mom and Dad and I would drive up to Dad's parents' house, and Dad and I would roll down the humongous hill in Grandpa's backyard while Grandma cooked with Mom. But when Dad left Mom to be in love with another woman, Mom told me that I was never allowed to speak to Dad's parents again, which I thought was unfair because they were my grandparents and we have a separate relationship. I also used to love Thanksgiving because of the food. Grandma would make a huge turkey with gravy and stuffing, and everyone would make a big deal about Grandpa carving the turkey like he had a special skill that the rest of us could never learn. But our neighbors, the vegans, don't eat turkey or real gravy, and they don't put marshmallows on top of their sweet potatoes because they said marshmallows come from horse feet, which I didn't know and I hope is a lie. Not only do they not eat turkey, but the vegans placed framed pictures of two turkeys on their table with the turkeys' names underneath, which were Mabel and Todd. It was strange to see pictures of turkeys because no one ever really takes pictures of turkeys, and it was even stranger to see that they had names because no one really names turkeys, especially with a name like Todd, which sounds like the name of a boy who asks a teacher for more homework. All of the foods were labeled with little turkey-shaped signs, and I remembered the names carefully so that I know to avoid them in future Thanksgivings. The main foods were lentil and mushroom loaf with savory potato filling, and stuffed maple tofu, and the side foods were gluten-free spinach roasted fingerlings and king oyster whipped sweet potatoes with herbs and without marshmallows. Reading the weird names of the foods, I suddenly missed Dad, and I thought that maybe Mom did too, even though she always says that she hates him. I think that even if you hate someone, it's easy to miss them on the holidays.
That's such a funny story,
yeah.
And it's so sad all
yeah.
at once, and
yeah.
you make that instantaneous switch from hilarious to poignant.
Yeah.
So quickly. How do you do that?
Because it's true. My family has vegan Thanksgiving. We take it a step further, but it would seem too absurd for a book that's an already collection of absurd stories because my family calls it Thanksliving. They actually have the pictures of the turkeys and they...
You're kidding. Wait, your family really has the pictures of the turkeys on the table?
Yes, Mabel and not Todd, but I thought Todd would be a funnier name. It was Mabel and some other turkey. It says... Oh, this is Mabel. She's 6 months old and she loves dancing and jazz music. That's really what it says. And then my sister spends about 45 minutes before we eat vegan food reading about what it's like to be a caged turkey, about to get your feathers boiled off and your beak cut. And then we eat tofu.
You're kidding. That
yeah.
scene is in that story, too. And that's the one where I thought, no, he just went a little overboard. That's like, seriously, nobody would do that.
It's true. We've done it every year. Yes. No, my family is, they're all vegetarians or vegans. And yes, various forms of not eating meat.
And big turkey supporters, evidently.
Yes, especially on that holiday. And I feel similarly. I mean, I don't eat turkey. And I feel similarly, especially on Thanksgiving, people think of it as this kind of, yes, joyous holiday. But my family has a way of taking anything that normally feels joyous and making it miserable.
So what made you, if this is your normal way of celebrating Thanksgiving, what made you want to write a story in which a 9-year-old boy basically looks at your family Thanksgiving and doesn't like it?
Because he's also correct. Like, what's great about writing from the perspective of a 9-year-old boy is that he could see the hypocrisy in the adult world And he's not old enough to understand why those kind of social norms were created. So he understands the hypocrisy, but he's not old enough to realize why adults have certain kind of behaviors to get through the day. A lot of what we do as adults is hypocritical, but we do it to kind of get through the day. He's able to see that hypocrisy, but without understanding why. So it's an interesting character to write from and an interesting perspective to have. So there's something kind of silly about having a vegan Thanksgiving, which he comments on. But also there's something that's very nice about it and very thoughtful and, you know, environmentally and humanely for the animals.
So this is part of a story cycle. There are, what, 12 different restaurant reviews that this 9-year-old kid... Now, I can't remember. Do we ever learn his name?
No.
Yeah. Okay. No, so this nameless 9-year-old boy is doing these restaurant reviews, except they're, what, 2,000 points? I've forgotten. How many does he give the vegan Thanksgiving?
The vegan is probably maybe 546 out of 2,000 stars. Because, yes, he has a very specific grading system in the way a 9-year-old boy would have, where you could allot a very specific number of stars out of 2,000. And for him, it has absolute meaning. He'd probably be able to define exactly why it has 546 as opposed to 547.
And his parents have divorced, and he's living with his mother. And he has such sympathy for his mother. And at the same time, his mother is clearly not a great mother. She's the first to say.
Yes, exactly. She's not only uninterested in having him accompany her, but she actually only takes him around because as part of the divorce settlement, the father has agreed to pay for anything she does with the boy because he's the joint property. So she is kind of taking him around reluctantly. But over the course of the stories, you realize her goodness, which she has spent years resisting. She's a broken and lonely person, and this little boy is able to see through the hypocrisies to realize that she's not a terrible person, that she's a good woman who's just lonely and looking for love. And he's able to see that because he's able to see kind of the moments in between the moments that adults, you know, like to feature.
Was it hard to come up with this character? I don't see how you can write in that voice without having that 9-year-old boy be you, really.
Yes, it is. I feel a bit kind of alienated from like normal adult life, and I enjoy infantilizing myself in order to get help from strangers. And so I think like that. I also have a bit of a stunted life experience because right in high school, I started acting in movies, and you are necessarily treated like a child, not only whilst acting in a movie, but in the public. No one really asks you to do anything that they ask other adults to do. So,
wait, what do you mean?
I really don't have to do anything. No one requires me to know about taxes or how to parallel park. I mean, I know how to do those things, but people offer to do them for me because I'm, you know, in the public eye. So,
Are you a normal human being? Do you go to supermarkets and buy milk and English muffins and stuff?
I do, but, we're vegan. So we buy milk and gluten-free English muffins.
Do you go to the supermarket and buy those things?
Yes. I live a normal life, but I see that if people notice me, they treat me in a... I would say there's a bit of an infantilization that occurs with recognizing somebody. Mm. There's like a kind of, I would say, an unconscious sympathy they have for me because they're excited, but they also, it's like a nervousness. I'm talking about myself like I'm the Pope. I'm not so special or unusual, but people
You're a big actor, you're a star, you're a celebrity, and so people do that.
Yes, I would say there's kind of, when people notice me, there is something a bit that they infantilize me a little bit. So,
but do you like that?
Yeah, I don't mind it because you can get away with things, you know. Oh, can I go on this roof? I don't know how this works. And I get to go on a roof. So like that. Can you do this quick taxes for me? Oh, sure. We'll do those taxes for you. So, yes, it's fine. It's fine. So I can understand how like the 9-year-old thinks. I also I started writing this while I was acting in a movie called The Double. And my character was like this kind of, I was playing two characters. I was playing this kind of, this kind of emotionally stunted, sweet young man. And then I was playing his doppelganger, who was this kind of brash, arrogant id version of him. And so I, I was mostly in the mindset of this sweet, stunted man. And so that's when I started writing these. So a lot of times my acting kind of experiences will end up dovetailing into what I'm writing.
I was going to ask what you think you've taken from acting that informs your stories or helps you write. Because they're fairly different. In some ways, they're very different occupations.
I like to think of them as more linked because I'm doing a Woody Allen movie now. I'm asked both to kind of improvise within his style because of the nature of how he shoots movies. He doesn't like to do a lot of editing, so the actors are supposed to fill up the scene, not just read the lines from the script. So my kind of, let's say, writer mind is often turned on. And I'm also asked to kind of use an emotional creativity, which is a bit esoteric and maybe pretentious to describe, but I'm asked to kind of mine my own emotions to use for fictional purposes.
What were you like as a 9-year-old boy?
I was, sad and introverted. Yeah, I was like a kind of a sad child. I don't know why. I guess because the antidepressants hadn't really come to my town at that point.
You also that acute an observer?
No, I wasn't such a great observer because I was mostly just worried. So I probably didn't have the kind of insight and acumen that this boy has. That said, I know children who have this acumen. They're endlessly interesting to me because they have at once a maturity and a kind of a mind that has really profound ideas, but at the same time, such limited life experience. And to me, that's even more interesting than the kind of wizened elderly person that has, you know, the life experience. Because there's just a openness to unusual things.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Jesse Eisenberg is an actor, a playwright, and the author of Bream Gives Me Hiccups and other stories.